truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
And they, what I think is going on here is that the White House is listening to the right wing.
This debate is going in the wrong direction.
I think that there is a place for the President of the United States to talk to school children.
I think all my whole family's dead.
Okay, tell me what's going on,
Johnny Diablo.
Disgusting.
World famous Phil Hendry Show till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East. That's right, Ralph just had to dump that one. I'm gonna get a legal opinion because we got a great slug line now. When the stars come out, the bull, and then I say the word, but I don't know whether I'm allowed to, because it's even though it's after midnight and it's not the children's out. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, welcome back to the show. This is a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this here show. You know, I don't want to get too much into this, but we had an FCC commissioner on the show not too long ago named Robert McDowell. This guy represents the bureaucracy of the broadcast industry and the bureaucracy, really, of government in its shining glory. And this is not Republican or conservative. This is not Republican or Democrat. This is not any of that. This is just a suit, you know, with his head shoved so far up his ass. He's got to open his mouth to figure out which toothbrush to use in the morning. And this is a guy that says to me on the air, on this show, and I'm calling him out, Robert McDowell of the Federal Communications Commission on my show, when I asked him the question, can I say this word on the air at a certain time? He says, well, you know, after 10 o'clock, it's considered to be the adult time. I said, great. Can I say the S word, you know? He says, well, this guy's with the Federal Communications Commission. If anybody's got an answer to that, he would, right? No, he didn't have an answer. You know what he said to me? He said, check with your lawyer. Check with my lawyer. My lawyer's going to check with you. What are you going to tell him? Well, I told him to check with you. Yeah, now I'm checking with you. All right, well, I'm checking with you. These guys, I'm telling you, you talk about a game that has been going on for forever, it seems. A game that is absolutely so wired in, and it's impossible, man. It's like playing the odds in Vegas. You're never going to win, man. The percentages are against you every which way but loose. The Federal Communications Commission doesn't put anything in writing, so they don't have to say this is what they said, so you can turn around and say to them, well, this is what you said, so I am going on the basis of what you said. They don't want to do that for fear they're going to get sued, and what's more to the point, that the Supreme Court of the United States will eventually disband their ass because they're unconstitutional to begin with. I ask a federal communications commissioner by the name of Robert McDowell if a word is okay to use after 10 o'clock at night, and this jackass says, check with your lawyer. This guy's on the Federal Communications Commission. Now, I'm not expecting any of you guys to take this stuff to heart. I don't want you to lose sleep over it, and you won't, because it's my business. It's not yours. You guys have bigger things to worry about. I'm just telling you, I'm just dropping this in as one of these kind of interesting things that I got to deal with in my life, in my profession, right? These clowns that are killing me. I'll tell you, it makes me laugh. It really does. It's not a big thing. It's just further evidence, in my opinion, of what a confidence game, truly, a flim-flam, the whole idea of a FCC is. And just so you'll know, folks, go ahead and write your letters to the FCC if you hear something on the air, this show or any other show, that offends you, because most of those letters, they use as toilet paper back there in Washington. Toilet paper. Literally, toilet paper. So be sure to use a nice, soft brand of paper when you're writing your letters. Anyway, our number is 877-876-PHIL. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night here until 1 o'clock on the El Pacifico and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Don't forget that we are on twitter.com/realphilhendry. You can go over there and check out and see what we're saying about each other behind the scenes. We're at Facebook. We're going to update our Facebook page, man. We have been remiss. And Bobby Dooley's on Facebook, too. And we also have live streaming video each and every night on our website at philhendryshow.com, so you can watch this stinking thing as it unfolds before your horrified eyes every night. And we'll get to some phone calls this hour. We have the stories we couldn't get to. And we have this man named Van Jones. Van Jones. Now, Van Jones was brought to prominence, really, by Glenn Beck, because Van Jones formed an organization to get Glenn Beck off the air. Now, this is, if ever there was a fool's errand, it is forming an organization to get somebody off the air. Forming organizations to get people kicked off the air is a fool's errand unless you can convince enough of their advertisers to start dropping their advertising from their programs. But how do you do that? You have to convince them that what they're doing is bad for the image of the company that advertises on that show. Now, that may seem easy, but I'm here to tell you, folks, that people who advertise in news programs and talk radio shows and all manner of controversial news and commentary shows, they advertise in those programs. Why? Does anybody know why?
On account of people are going to buy the product.
Yeah, I'll go with that.
All right. Well, that's not a bad guess, bud. But it isn't just that people are going to buy the product. The reason why they like to advertise in shows like this one or other radio shows or other talk TV shows is because it is a what is known as a foreground format, meaning that people who listen to the radio and people who watch television, news television, are paying attention to the content. If you're listening to a music program, it's in the background. You may like one song, you may not like another song, it's just in the background. And you're doing your work and you're humming along, but you're not really paying attention. And then all of a sudden a commercial comes on, and what you notice the first thing is that it irritates you. Wait a minute, what happened to the music? There's a commercial. That sucks, I'm changing the channel. When you're listening to a talk show, or you're watching a talk program on TV, you're paying attention already to the content that's coming out. You have to. It's a foreground format. It's what we call foreground. So you're listening and you're paying attention. And then when the commercial comes on, you go, there's a commercial. Well, Phil's talking about Medifast. There's Phil talking about Choose for Health. There was Phil talking about Obama. And then he was talking about another jackass. And now he's talking about this. And I'm listening. Advertisers know this. So if you want to get a guy off the air, the first thing you want to do is get the advertising pulled from his show. But it's a very, very difficult thing to do because you have to convince that company this guy is bad for your product. Well, why do you say that Glenn Beck is bad for... Well, he said a bunch of... Glenn Beck, I mean, he called Obama racist. I don't give a crap about that. Get out of here. Well, he also said that Alaska was bought in the 1950s. So what? In other words, it takes something pretty heavy duty. I mean, the last advertising big advertising boycott that I remember that worked to some degree, and it only worked for a certain period of time, and then she battled her way back on the air, and now she's as popular as ever, was when there was a boycott against Laura Schlesinger because of some comments she'd made relative to gay people. And that hurt her for a while, but it didn't kick her off the air. She came back, she got more radio stations, more advertisers, and, kind of smooth that thing out, and everything's beautiful, right? When was the last time you ever heard anybody getting booted off the air? Don Imus. There. Imus got booted off the air because he was stupid. He didn't know he didn't understand what it was he was saying. Don Imus broke the cardinal rule of broadcasters. He let something fly out of his mouth that he had no concept of the import of the comment. He had no idea what it was he was saying. He wasn't thinking. He didn't know why he said it. He couldn't defend it. And it was offensive and inflammatory enough to just enough people whereby advertisers started pulling their advertising and MSNBC said, get out of our lives. We don't want to see you anymore. But that's the last time I remember that happening. And it was done because of something so stupid. I mean, really, I got to blame Don Imus for that. I don't blame the advertisers for pulling. And yeah, I know Al Sharpton made a big thing out of it with his big fat mouth. I get it. But it was a stupid, ignoramus thing to say because he really didn't know why he was saying it. His producer said it, and so he said it, and he thought it sounded real Gen Y, and he thought he was going to really get some very hip credibility going with that. And the next thing you know, his ass is off the air. Goodbye, Don. He was like, I use the comparison, he was like that weak animal that is sipping at the water in the Serengeti, and here come the wildebeests. Now the gazelles start running, and the really fast animals get away, like the Rush Limbaughs and the Sean Hannitys, they get away. But the kind of the sickly little old animal there at the water, he doesn't realize that the wildebeest are about to tear him apart until he sees them, and it's too late. That was Don Imus. Because they're always waiting, man. They're always waiting for something to happen. They're going to rip your ass off the air, man. They will kill you. They will kill you like wildebeest going after those animals. And Glenn Beck is not a Don Imus. He is like a gazelle, like Limbaugh and like Hannity. So this Van Jones dumbass, anyway, because he's so stupid, he probably doesn't know whether the sky is blue, whether it's, you know, he doesn't know, is this daytime? No, it's daytime when the sun's out, Van. Oh, okay, thank you. This guy takes a job in the Obama administration after A, signing a petition questioning whether the United States government had something to do with 9/11. Now, that's just crackpot stuff. That's like Holocaust denial. That's like the moon. We never landed on the moon. It was a TV show. That's crackpot. That's nutsy cuckoo. In another world, he would probably be signing petitions saying that Jews are the spawn of the devil. You see what I'm saying? And if he was a white man, if Van Jones were a white man, he'd sign a petition saying that blacks are part ape. You know, in other words, it's cuckoo, baby. Real gone. He did that. Then he made some comments relative to Bush being a crackhead. And the whole thing redounded and smelled like a real bad fart. And Obama said, get out of my life. I don't need this problem right now. What is it with you people? Well, Mr. President, I'm sure I understand about this, that, and something else. You got the freedom of speech. Do whatever you want. Do you realize that they're tearing me apart, man? I can't handle this crap anymore. Who the hell are you? And everybody calls me up and says, Phil, when are you going to just make Obama the guy? Why don't you just go ahead and blame the guy because you know it's his fault? You know he's the guy that's responsible for these hires? Yeah, okay, you're right. Technically, yes. But I'm telling you, as sure as God made green apples, man, Obama didn't hire this guy. Somebody else did. Somebody recommended him. Someone said, Mr. President, this guy's really solid. Good, good, good. Okay, great, great, great. Put his ass in there. Fine. Next thing you know, he's got this stuff he's got to deal with. And the people say to him, well, Mr. President, you know, ultimately you're responsible. Yes, I know I'm responsible. Can I get a friend around here? Is there anybody that's got my back anywhere in this place? Or do I got to think of everything around here? Here are the comments, and you judge for yourself, I guess. Van Jones making comments about George Bush being a crackhead.
Just begin to drill more. To drill offshore, to drill here, to drill there, to liquefy coal, to go with oil shale and tar sands. Do whatever you can to get more petroleum into the system. And we heard our president saying just that. And I hate to say this, and I hope I don't offend anybody, but the president of the United States sounded like a crackhead.
All right. Well, you want to know there, Van, huh? Then we had Van Jones comparing Obama. No, that wasn't Obama. This is Jones commenting on the Iraq war.
We had a difficult, dark night in this country. And I don't care what political party you're in, I think you have to agree at this point that we took a wrong turn somewhere.
Get out of here. Here he is talking about some other crap, discussing the treatment of anti-war demonstrators.
You and people like you all across the country who, when it was difficult, when somebody had taken the American flag and turned it into a war flag.
And then he's talking about Columbine.
Our young white males are suffering in the society.
Suffering in the society. Not only that, the guy lisps. So that, you know, Obama probably said something like, wait a minute, does the guy lisp too? Yes, he does, sir. What are you guys doing to me? Well, we didn't know he lisped. You got a guy who's lisping? First of all, he's talking about, they're suffering. Did you hear that? I only just now picked up on it, sir. You only just now picked up on it. Yes, sir. He's talking about a crackhead over here. He's talking about the Columbine there. He's got another thing. And not on top of everything else, they're suffering. And you didn't hear that. No, man. Rom, I'm telling you, the day that I hired your ass is a black ass day, man. And when I say this baby's black, I'm just kidding. All right, so here is Robert Gibbs trying to say, you know, it was all a big mistake.
Well, what Van Jones decided was that the agenda of this president was bigger than any one individual. The president thanks Van Jones for his service in the first 8 months and helping to coordinate renewable energy.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Then,
well, look, Van Jones is a national hero for his work on green jobs.
That's great. And then another guy.
This guy's a Yale-educated lawyer. He's a best-selling author about his
But he's fired. All right, 877-877. That was Howard Dean and some other jackass. I don't have time. 877-876-PHIL. He's fired. A mayor defends an email that he forwarded that criticizes Islam. It basically was a critique of Muslims. We'll listen to that. We got your phone calls coming up on the world famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back.
Phil Henry.
I might have said the F word. I didn't say it on the air.
Yeah, you did.
I'll ask Ralph. I'm not taking your word for it. If I said the F word, so what? It wasn't on the air. Sorry, folks, if you heard the F word, you shouldn't have heard the F word. I don't think you heard the F word. But let me just say something about that.
Our young white males are suffering in the society.
Suffering? Fuck it.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Coming up, we've got a soap opera actress. What the hell happened to her? She's upset about something. A soap opera actress apparently believes that her religious beliefs are being impugned or something, right? She was fired because of her religious beliefs. That's it. Let's find out who and why and when and where forthcoming. But first, here's Lance in Minneapolis. And Lance, what's on your mind tonight? Thanks for calling.
Well, initially when I first heard about this whole Obama thing, speaking to the children in the public schools, from what I understood, it was going to be through K through 6. Is that true?
I don't know.
Okay, well,
it's a good question, man. I thought it was elementary school. I believe the story said elementary school students.
Well, but his message really, what it really should have spoke to is through K through 12. I mean, there's a lot of people dropping out of high school, and if his whole message really meant to speak to everybody, it would be cool to speak to everybody, even in the high school, because these people are getting ready to drop out, and he could speak to them, and then they wouldn't drop out. So, but
maybe, when he'd speak to them, and they would drop out.
To hear about the whole lesson plan and all this stuff of what you can do about your president, then I started to think maybe there was some other underlying agenda, and I was kind of concerned about that, and I was kind of wondering why would he only want to speak to the K through 6 when his message really did actually speak to people that were getting ready to drop out of high school. Maybe
talking to younger people, you're getting them at a younger age, and you don't have a critical situation when they're older. They're young, and you're saying, look, don't do what you maybe see a lot of other kids doing. Drop out. Stay in school. Sometimes getting them when they're younger is a better place to reaffirm the message.
Why wouldn't he have this message go to the high school?
I don't know, man. Maybe it's nefarious. I don't know. Why are you worried about it?
Definitely had.
Why are you worried about it?
Well,
why are you sweating this, man? What's the big deal?
I'm just saying because there's a lot of people in high school thinking about dropping out. Now, if you were to,
all right. So I guess he blew it.
They wouldn't.
What are you getting all excited? Why are you excited about this?
Oh, I'm just a little nervous. It's the first time I've ever called in.
Yeah, I know. You're getting kind of excited over nothing, man. So you think he should have been talking to the older kids. He talked to younger kids. Whatever.
My first concern is, why isn't he talking to K through 6? If that's that's what I heard.
I don't know. Somebody blew it. One more jackass in his administration, or maybe he's not bright enough. I don't know.
There you go. I think you just said it.
There you go. I mean, if you look hard enough, Lance, you're going to find all kinds of things wrong with this guy. First of all, he's not supposed to be talking to him. Then he's talking to him, but he ain't talking to the right ones. Then he's talking to the right ones, but he ain't saying the right thing. I mean, this guy can't win for losing, for God's sake. He's talking to little kids about staying in school. So big deal he didn't talk to the older ones.
I'm trying to say, his whole message, it seemed like you should be talking to the older kids in high school.
Yeah, I know. I mean, he didn't.
Well, if...
So what does that mean to you that he didn't, then?
Well, I mean, if this message was only going out through K through 6...
Right.
It makes me believe that maybe there was some underlying agenda. But now if he wanted to speak to
What's the underlying agenda?
He wants to keep them in school, make sure that they learn and they stay in school.
Yeah. Well, so what's the underlying agenda that he only talked to kids K through 6?
Well, the initial lesson plan, was to the K through 6. It was kind of like write a letter to yourself.
Did you hear his speech? Did you hear the speech? Did you hear the comments?
No.
Okay. Thanks so very deeply for your call.
No,
it's been, Lance. Get out of here. Bug off, you weird ass. I bet you that guy knows that other guy, from Minneapolis, you know.
Who?
I forget his name. That's me, Gary Dupree, that guy.
Oh, yeah, maybe that was Gary.
It sounded like him. J. just fooling around, Lance, but you and Gary, man, you got to do something, man, but huffing all of that glue. 877-876-PHIL is the number. I'd go to another phone call, but it wouldn't be worthy of the time that we have pressing at the moment, but we will take calls when we go to the other side of our break here. Don't forget, we're online at philhenryshow.com. You can watch our video cast, and you can also check in with us at Twitter and Facebook as well. Coming up, not only phone calls, but this actress who believes that her religious beliefs had something to do with her being fired from a soap opera. Who is she? What's the soap opera? Does it matter to you? Does it matter to me? Do you watch these soaps? Are you awake? I'm not. We'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
Eight seven seven eight seven six. Phil is the number here on the world famous Phil Henry Show. I'm trying to access a story here on Barack Obama speaking to a ninth grade class, and so that would be a non-elementary school class. That would be a middle school class, because before he talked to the little kids, he talked to the slightly bigger than little kids, the ninth graders, and he talked to the ninth graders about a slightly different series of concerns. Like making sure that you're not putting stuff on Facebook that is the wrong thing to put on Facebook. And in other words, he sculpted the speech for a slightly older audience of, emerging adolescents, young teens, whatever the hell you want to call them. But there wasn't anything all that nefarious about that speech either. It was a ninth grade class. I'm trying to find out whether it was more than one ninth grade class because I'm trying to answer all these questions, you know. Because people apparently are still wigged out over Obama talking to kids. I've never in my life ever seen anything like this. We're living in a time where people are irrational to the point of hysteria. We're living in a time where people are so frightened of what lay ahead. Rather than just seizing the moment, seizing events at the flood, as the poet said, we're running from the flood. We're running for cover. Every little thing, every little comment, every little weird-looking president with big ears and dark skin, every kind of strange phenomenon, every sort of turn in the road that we didn't think was going to be a turn in the road, every little dip in the road that we thought should be a hill, every little clump of trees that we thought should be a rock, every rock that we thought should be a clump of trees, we are panicking like children, like these kids he was talking to. So he said something to these sixth graders and he didn't say something to the ninth graders. I don't know. I don't care. And I'll put a year's salary on the fact that it won't matter at all. 5, 6, 7, 10 years from now. All right. One more thing. The soap opera actress that resigned from the show, she didn't resign. She got fired. Actress Patricia Mosseri, I think is her name. She says she was fired and she was abruptly replaced for objecting to a gay storyline because of her religious beliefs. Mosseri plays the recurring role of Carlotta Vega on One Life to Live, and she's been on this show for 14 years. But when she objected to how the writers wanted her deeply religious character, a Latina mother, to handle a storyline involving homosexuality, she objected. And for that, she claims she was fired. Mosseri, a devout Christian, told Fox News that character Vega's gay-friendly dialogue was not in line with the character she helped create by drawing on her own faith. I did not object to being in a gay storyline. I objected to speaking the truth of what that person, how that person would live and breathe and act in that storyline, and this goes against everything I am, my belief system, what I know the character's belief system is aligned to. Now, I understand that when an actor creates a character, helps to create a character, that's one part of the creation of that character. The other part are the lines that that character speaks, because those are written by a staff of writers. So the writers put those words into the mouth of the actress to help fill out that character. Now, this character that she is playing, the writers see as gay-friendly, I guess, and she doesn't see her character as being gay-friendly, and so she disagreed with this. She wanted it to be rewritten. She was hoping for a compromise, and they fired her. And I don't know how to say this, but I'll just say it directly. If you were objecting to this gay storyline, Ms. Mosseri, why didn't you quit? Why'd they have to fire you? They fired you probably because you wouldn't quit. And at the end of the day, you're working for people. And the people you work for say, this is how it goes, baby. Excuse the baby, but that's Hollywood. and you're going to do it or you don't want to do it? No. Okay, you're fired. We'll get another actress to do it. Well, I helped develop this character. Really? Well, your contract says you don't own that character. We do. Your contract says ABC or whatever network this is. I wouldn't know. I wouldn't know, man, if they had it in big, bright, blinking neon in front of me. Whatever the network is, they own the character. They own the rights to the character. You don't own anything. You might have helped develop the character. That's your job as an actress, and that's where it ends. You're fired. Thank you very much. You don't like the gay storyline? Go work for TBN or whatever the hell the thing's called, as in TB. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Zach in Columbus. Zach, you're on the Phil Henry Show. What's on your mind tonight, Zach?
Hey, how you doing? Well, first of all...
Good, thank you.
I think it's ridiculous that people really care that the President of the United States is talking to kids, you know. When at the end of the day, when it comes down to it, the parents really direct the kids. You know, one time from a president speaking to children is not going to affect their future.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing I wanted to talk about, I think it's time for Americans to take up arms. I think it's time for Americans to say, hey, we're not going to let the government do what they're doing. It's time for them to stop messing around with us. You know, I saw in the news there were several people who actually went to the town halls with guns. And I think that's a good idea because it shows the government that, hey, you know, we're not going to be messed with. We're tired of all these corrupt politicians. We're tired of all these people making money for themselves, taking our taxes, taxing us too much. We're tired of all the rich people duping us. You know what I'm saying? We're tired of working 9 to 5. I work 12 to 3 at FedEx in Grove City, and it's hard work. And I only make $11.50 an hour. And you know what? I'm fine with that. And I would never, ever, if I was in a position with they're in, I would never, ever try to dupe someone that works as hard as I do or the people that I work with.
What do you mean, dupe someone?
I would say, like, you know, we're taxed too much. We're getting to the point now, cigarettes are going up. They're about.
We're taxed too much. Well, I don't know. I mean, we're taxed too much. That's an interesting comment. I mean, how much are you taxed?
I honestly don't know.
Well, then how do you know you're being taxed too much? How do you know you're being taxed too much?
Well, okay, look at the, Ford and GM, look at their bailout. The executives flew on their own private airplanes.
Right, I know.
Okay. And that comes from our taxes.
Yeah.
Any way you look at it, the government, all the big wigs, all the people that hold office have all these special privileges that come from us.
Like what?
Like their own private jets when they could fly commuter airlines like the rest of us.
Well, there's a security issue involved. Do you want the president flying a commercial airline Do you want the Speaker of the House, who's in line for the presidency? Do you want the Speaker of the House flying a commercial airline? President pro tem of the Senate? Do you want the members of the cabinet? I mean, exactly who's supposed to be flying commercial? These are all officers of our government who are objects or who are the possible targets of assassins and other kinds of people that harass them. Don't we want them secure in their travel?
Well, yeah. I mean, I was more talking about the GMs of the auto industry.
I agree with you there. I agree with you there. And they were chastised, and they got rid of the private jet. And it was a bad symbol. But let's take a look at GM, Jeff. You know that there's a lot of guys that work at GM just like you. They're breaking their ass. They're working hard. They're trying to put out a product. They go home to a wife and kids. And there's millions and millions and millions of them. Now, I don't know how many people FedEx employs, but I guarantee you FedEx doesn't employ near as many people as the automakers. You put all those guys out of work, guys like you, who are out of work because some stupid bastard in a boardroom doesn't know how to design a car that people want to buy, and suddenly we're going to have millions and millions of men and women out of work, and we got to figure out what to do with these people out of work. Here's an option. Why don't we try and get a business plan going? If they came to us and they asked us for money, we say, all right, I'll tell you what we'll do is we'll lend you the money, but you need a business plan that's going to make this company profitable. You got to pay us back, and because we don't want to put all these people out of work. Now, that's an idea, too. But you want to put those guys out of work while you get to have your job.
Yeah, that's true, but you can't deny that. The reason we're having this economic trouble is because all of, really, basically, the politicians, they're taxing us too much.
No, No, I don't know. No, the reason why we're having the economic trouble starting with Ford and GM and Chrysler is because we had a business environment that was not interested in product design and in customer loyalty. They were interested in a quarterly jump in profit. They were interested in a year-to-year jump in profit, and they had no long-term plan. The reason why we're in the economic problem we're in today is because we had bankers, lenders, leaders of financial institutions that knew nothing at all of how to engender a customer loyalty, of how to do business in a practical way, of how to do business in a long-term way. The problem, Zach, is not that we've got a government that's out of control. The problem is that we had a business community that was ignorant, and a generation of ignorant business leaders led us to a collapse in some very vital business industries. So we can debate all we want about whether the government could have done this, that, or something else, taxed them less. I'm telling you right now, you know, if all these guys know how to do is look at the government and say, well, I would have done better if it hadn't. These are not men. These are not competitive, aggressive business people. These are little children. Why don't you guys go play in the sandbox and get some people in here that can do the job? Okay? Enough of your excuses. Enough of your whining and crying about how the Japanese are doing this and the government's doing that. I'm not talking about you, Zach. I'm talking about these business guys that put guys like you out of work, man. You know, I was just talking about the FCC. I work in an industry, folks, where today some of the biggest companies in the broadcast business are worth less than a dollar a share. Less than a dollar a share. Less than a dollar a share. I mean, you want to cry. Now, what are you telling me? That was the government that did that to them? No, we've got people in my industry, your industry, across the board, a generation of business people that are not fit to hold onto a piggy bank. They're not fit to be the class treasurer for a kindergarten class, let alone run big companies, okay? Best of luck to you, Zach, and I know you work hard. We all work hard, and we got these jackasses looking at the quarterly profit, and this is how they make money. This is how they make the books look good for the next quarter so they keep their job. They fire people. That's their answer to the bottom line question. Make a better product, get customer loyalty, get more money into the business coffers, expand the profit because you're selling something people want. No, they fire people. That's their idea of making that bottom line look beautiful so they can hold on to their rotten little jobs for another 6 months. Here's Beverly in Phoenix. Beverly, you're on the Phil Henry Show. What's on your mind, Beverly?
Oh, Phil, I've been wanting to talk about healthcare forever.
Uh-huh.
You make a point that people just don't realize that there is money to be made in it, especially in preventative health care.
You mean like herbs and stuff?
Not just herbs, but because, first of all, doctors are not made to be doctors. They're supposed to get you healthy, not just give you a bunch of pills. So, like, with the obesity around 50 to 60% of America is large. Yeah. And that's where you get a lot of your diseases. Plus,
obesity is being large.
Yeah, and what is like?
Or you're saying it, but it also is large.
Like 5-10% now.
Who is?
Morbidly obese.
America, 5% of are more. No, why do they call it morbidly obese? It's a bad. When I hear morbidly obese, it's like somebody is so fat they're playing a bad joke on the rest of us.
Pretty much, you got that.
They're being morbid. Yeah.
Exactly.
So what about preventative? Do I take? Yeah, well, what kind of herbs can I take not to get a cold?
Oh, you just have to be healthy. It's called working out.
Okay, good point.
You know, good point. Not too many. I work out at the gym, and
if you're on MetaFast.com, Phil, you won't be morbidly obese.
MetaFastPhil.com.
What?
MetaFastPhil.com. Go ahead, Beverly.
Okay, and then, like, especially with, like, when you go to the doctor, they order all these unnecessary tests. Just to stay away from malpractice and insurance, you know what I'm saying? And that could put a dent in malpractice insurance by letting doctors be doctors. And if they don't believe that you should have a test done, then they won't do it just because you have to because of malpractice suits and stuff.
Now, did you hear about this guy? I didn't believe it when I heard it, but I read it, and it's true. You hear about this guy that went in to have his gallbladder removed, and when he woke up, he was missing both legs?
No, but you hear all kinds of stories like that. And that, I think that there's other ways that we can get around that to make sure that there's better doctors out there. I mean, this is America. We take things from other countries and we make it better. And nobody has any pride in that or anything. Yeah. There's a lot of things that you could do. And definitely,
do you believe in
But you don't believe in
herbs and like gnawing on tree bark or anything like that? Oh, you do? Okay.
I think natural medicine. Way too much vaccines and stuff, especially for babies. Yeah. I have a 3-year-old.
Can you cure? Do you know how to cure? Like, if I had tuberculosis, is there something I could eat, like a weed?
Oh, I don't know anything about tuberculosis.
You mean about that?
That's different.
Yeah.
What if
I had just
natural things like colds or like my?
Do you believe in colonics? Things like it. Do you do that colonic thing, you know, where some of these clowns, they give themselves enemas in the morning and they feel great?
No, you could do that naturally by just doing warm water with sea salt. And if you drink that, that's a natural colonic.
So you pipe warm water and sea salt up there, huh?
No, you just drink it.
Oh, you just drink it?
Yeah.
I'm going to write that down. Warm water and sea salt, and it's a natural.
Very colonic.
There's a lot of ways.
It's called a colonic.
You shouldn't really do colonics anyway. That's not really good for you. But if you work out and eat right, you really don't have to worry what comes out at the other end, do you?
No, you don't. And you don't have to be looking in the bowl and sweating every morning before you pull the chain, that's for sure. I think what you just said, it makes sense. Let's just prevent being sick, and we won't have to worry about all this stuff.
But if you prevent then you keep the emergency room, less people in the emergency room, too. And at the same
time, more room for the morbidly obese, too, if you think about it.
No, I'm tired of...
All right, Beverly, thanks for calling. I appreciate it. That's very smart. Beverly is very smart. Prevent it. Stay out of the emergency room, and we can let all those fat people in.
Yeah, and then they won't be morbid, you know, morbid about it.
Yeah, okay.
That's funny.
877-876-PHIL. All right, so we end the show on a positive note there from Beverly. Warm colonic water and the sea salt and everything. She's right, though. She is right. And I sit here, and I am a testament to good, healthy living with my Metafast diet and, of course, my Marlboro Lights. I'm kidding around, although I am very proud of my... top of the morning to you. Zippo lighter. 877-876-PHIL. The stories we couldn't get to next on a world famous Phil Henry show.
You're morbid.
Phil Henry. Phil Henry Show.
No, it's not. Morbidly obese. Hold on. Welcome back to the program. What?
If you're morbid.
Not morbid. Morbidly obese.
Yeah, what I was about saying, they make you cannonball a pool. Yeah, the way they do it is if cannonballs, a cannonball contest.
What are you guys talking about?
The way they figure out if you're morbidly obese.
Yeah.
They make you do a cannonball in the pool.
Yeah. What do you mean they make you do a cannonball in the pool? What does that do?
On account of the water displacement.
Oh, get out of here. They don't do it that way. They don't do it like that. They've got some other way of measuring it.
No, I swear to God, man. They had a cannonball competition of a morbid man. Yeah.
What do you mean a cannonball competition? Are you guys idiots or something, man? How are you going to figure out how fat a guy is just because he's cannonballing into a pool?
On account of water displaces.
It doesn't make any difference, man. If he splashes all the water out of the pool, it still doesn't mean he's morbidly obese. Maybe the pool's too small.
Yeah, right, man. You got to be kidding me, man. A man put a water out.
I think you guys are high on crack. I'm sure. Okay, all you morbidly obese cats, line up and do cannonballs into the pool. I don't believe it. Anyway, welcome back, and it's time now for the stories we couldn't get to. Battling an intensely hot fire after a cargo truck crashed on a highway, emergency crews were surprised to find themselves suddenly fired upon by corks from exploding wine bottles. The corks were popping out of the bottles like the old Jiffy Pop popcorn we grew up with, said Wyoming Highway Patrol Lieutenant Scott Keene, as he smiled and said, my trooper got hit in the arm with one, he said. Anyway, the fire Thursday was so intense it burned the trailer down to the axles, melted the tires, and damaged about 75 feet of pavement. Besides the heat and the flying corks, firefighters also had to deal with shattering bottles. But Keene says no one was injured. The truck driver escaped the fire. Keene says the wreck likely was caused by a locked brake or a hub malfunctioning. A gay reporter stripped for George Clooney. We have the audio of this. It's very bizarre. This cat is gay, and there's nothing wrong with that. But apparently what happened was this dude is in love with George Clooney, and he wanted to give George, I don't know. Just listen to this. This dude is meeting George Clooney during a press conference for Clooney's movie. Where the hell happened? Oh, here we go. Sorry. Here it is.
Hi, George. Sorry. Okay, I'm very hot because I didn't see your movie yet, but I...
It's very good.
Yeah. But I saw you, and I don't know like how to say it.
I know what the question is.
I am gay, George, and...
Here it comes.
I think I'm in love with you. George, please, take me. Choose me, George, please.
Okay,
please choose me, George. May I kiss you, please? Just
okay.
One kiss.
That happened
please.
Before, so please take
George,
me
one kiss.
Back.
It's hard when you take a big chance and it doesn't really work. It's always embarrassing when you take one real swing for the fences and it just falls flat.
So many of these people are so poor and they are so black.
Anyway, in other news, so I don't know what that was about. In fact, we'll just let that one conclude this evening's stories we couldn't get to. It's been wonderful. I appreciate very much your attention and your continued devotion. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Jason Rantz. Our technical director is Ralph Rodriguez. And remember, Ralph...
Many of these people are so poor, and they are so black.
Anyway, we'll see you from the El Pacifico later on tonight or tomorrow morning.
Phil Hendry.